From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 10. Is that right? Yes. Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Rajan Evam Krita Prashno.
Rajan Evam Krita Prashno.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Pritastang Aha Devarshi.
Pritastang Aha Devarshi.
Hare, excuse me, Hare Sangs. Sangs Marito Gunahai. Shri Sukha Uvacha.
Shri Sukha Uvacha.
Rajan Evam Krito Prashno.
Rajan Evam Krito Prashno.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Ritastangaha Devarshir.
Ritastangaha Devarshir.
Hare Sangs Marito Gunai.
Hare Sangs Marito Gunai.
Shri Sukha Uvacha.
Shri Sukha Uvacha.
Rajan Evam Krita Prashno.
Rajan Evam Krita Prashno.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Vasudevena Dimata.
Pritastangaha Devarshir.
Pritastangaha Devarshir.
Hare Sangs Marito Gunahai.
Hare Sangs Marito Gunahai.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Rajan, O King, Evam,
thus,
Krita Prashna, questioned, Vasudevena, by Vasudev, Dimata, the intelligent, Krita,
pleased,
Tam,
to him,
Aha,
spoke.
Deva Rishi, the sage among the demigods.
Hare,
of Lord Hari.
Sangs Marita,
made to remember. Gunai, by the qualities. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Devarshi Narada was pleased by the questions of the highly intelligent Vasudeva because they suggested the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They reminded Narada of Lord Krishna. Thus Narada replied to Vasudeva as follows. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Devarshi Narada was pleased by the questions of the highly intelligent Vasudeva because they suggested the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They reminded Narada of Lord Krishna. Thus Narada replied to Vasudeva as follows. There's no purport, so we'll read the next text. Translation. Sri Narada said, O best of the sattvatas, you have quite correctly asked about the eternal duty of a living entity toward the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service to the Lord is so potent that its performance can purify the entire universe. perform. A similar statement was made by Srila Sukadeva Goswami in the first verse of the second canto when he congratulated Parikshit Maharaj for asking about Krishna. That quote is, that verse is as follows. My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing and is approved by all transcendentalists. Similarly, Srila Sutta Goswami congratulated the inquiring sages of Naimisharanya in the following words. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. That's from Bhagavatam 1.2.5. Narada will now answer Vasudeva's inquiry about the process of devotional service. Later, at the end of their conversation, he will reply to Vasudeva's comments about Vasudeva's own faulty intentions. Nama Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pacharane Nirvase Shashinivari Paskitare Satarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So thank you for inviting me to speak at the Mahaprabhu Mandir. It was named back in 1975. Unfortunately, I'm not a very qualified speaker. I'm not a scholar. But I will try to speak something today that will enliven devotees. But I encourage you to also think of questions that you may have about this verse or any subject matter of Krishna consciousness, so that there can be discussion. I come from a farm community in Canada, and our format there is we read and we all discuss, we all offer something and discuss during the Bhagavatam class. So this inquiry by Narada has a lot of deep meaning. And he's addressing Vasudeva and he's inquiring, he states that he asked about, you quite correctly asked about the eternal duty of the living entity toward the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service of the Lord is so potent that its performance can purify the entire universe. So this is our business in the human form of life, is to inquire about devotional service to the Supreme Lord. There's really no other business in human form of life, that we've come so far, so many species of life, and have taken so many births, so many deaths, grown up, stayed for some time, dwindled, and died. The six stages of the living entity. There's birth, there's growth, stays for some time, dwindling in death. So this has been going on and on eternally. We can't trace out how long it's been going on. But now that we've reached the human form of life, our only business is to inquire how to become relieved from the cycle of birth and death. As we were reading also last night about the position of happiness and discussion about happiness, that once we stop searching for happiness, then we can actually be of some service. Because the whole business of the living entity is searching after pleasure. And there's so many distractions in Kali Yuga, how to obtain pleasure. So much technology, all centered around deriving some pleasure. And ultimately it's based on sex life, which is the ultimate enjoyment of a living entity in the material world. And we can see that manifests in so many ways. So real happiness means to hear and chant about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other business. When I first came to the temple in New York, I was doing a magazine article, a photo essay for a magazine on the devotees. And my first vision of the Lord, you can say, was at the temple there. And there was, they had Jagannath deities, Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And when I came in front of them, I could, for some reason, I could realize that this was my eternal position, to worship Krishna. I had some kind of small realization of that. And I'm not sure where that came from, it just appeared in my mind. I certainly had nothing to do with it, living the life that I was living. So I could understand by that experience that was the mercy of the Lord. That wasn't my own doing. So mercy, ours is a descending process. That means the mercy or the realization descends from above. It's not by our own ability that we can make advancement. Sometimes devotees ask this question, how can I make advancement in Krishna consciousness? Well, we can't do anything. It is simply the mercy of the Lord that we can do anything at all. The only thing we can do is desire. There's a painting, famous painting in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first Bhagavad Gita. And it has a very detailed painting. It has the spiritual world above and the material world below. And there's a line between the two. And on that line is the word desire. Do you remember that painting? Have you ever seen that? I think it's in the old Bhagavad Gita. It's a very, very nice painting. So that word desire is very important, because practically speaking, that comprises our independence. We speak about that we have minute independence. So what is that minute independence? It's really our desire of what we want. And from that desire, those desires are fulfilled by the agency of the Super Soul. It gives us facility for realizing those desires. Otherwise, we have no really no control and no independence. And the great illusion in this material world is that we do have independence. That's the biggest illusion out there. But just the simple fact of, you know, moving our arms, picking up something, putting it down. Yeah, how is that going on? We're just desiring it and it's automatically going on. So by the facility of the demigods, which are controlling everything, and the facility of the Super Soul, who knows our desire, everything is going on. So we have to be very careful about what we desire, because those things, that will ultimately come to pass. We'll ultimately get those wishes if we keep meditating on that particular, on those particular desires. So the real thing is to desire to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. We may not be so advanced to be able to love Krishna. That's a very exalted platform. But we can take up the process of Krishna consciousness, knowing that the result will be there if we're fixed in our desire. So we all have some desire to become Krishna conscious, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But as Srila Prabhupada said many times, Krishna consciousness is a very gradual process. It's nothing quick. And we've seen that in the beginning. Sometimes we think, oh, in a few months or a few years, everything will be. I'll be Krishna conscious and no problem. But at least in my case, it's not the case. But still, this is a better way of life. Actually, Srila Prabhupada made the humorous statement one time. He said, even if there is no God, this is a better way of life. So there's definitely God, that's for sure. And this is the best way of life. Otherwise, people are simply extending their stay in the material world by their activities, on and on and on. And anything that is not in connection with Krishna, anything that we think or do, simply extends our stay in material life. You can say it is that in itself is sinful activity. Sinful activity sometimes has, you know, bad connotations, kind of scary connotations. Sin, you know. But, and actually anything that we're doing that's not in connection with Krishna is a kind of sinful activity, I think. Because it is not directing us back home, back to Godhead. So one of the most important qualities in devotional service is patience. Because, again, it's a very gradual process. Rupa Goswami outlines the three important processes, the three important qualities in devotional service. One is enthusiasm, the other is determination, and the last is patience. So we have to be very patient. We can't demand that we become Krishna consciousness. Again, it's a descending process. It's simply due to mercy. It is not our own doing. We can take up the process, we can follow as best we can, but we have to leave the results up to Krishna. So these questions and answers are glorious because they're in connection with Krishna. So any questions on this particular verse? Or anything discussed? So we can, yes. I was thinking that myself, sattvika. Does anyone know, or do we have any scholars, Sanskrit scholars, sattvika? I could take a guess, but anyone know the meaning of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read that from me?
I read it in Bhagavatam, few places, but I can't recall the various ones, but I'm sure it's referring to the devotees.
Or referring to devotees.
One of the names, or whether it has any other name.
Okay. Anything else? So we'll read the next verse. Shruto nupatito dhyata adrito vanumoditaha sadhya punati sadharmo deva vishva druhopihi. Translation. Pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord is spiritually so potent that simply by hearing about such transcendental service, by chanting his glories in response, by meditating upon him, by respectfully and faithfully accepting it, or by praising the devotional service of others, even persons who hate the demigods and all other living beings can immediately be purified. Please repeat. Pure devotional service, rendered to the Supreme Lord, is spiritually so potent, by simply hearing about such transcendental service, by chanting his glories in response, by meditating on it, by respectfully and faithfully accepting it, or by praising the devotional service of others, even persons who hate the demigods and all other living beings can be immediately purified. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented that the word sad-dharma refers to Bhagavad Dharma. This is also confirmed by Sridhar Swami. Bhagavad Dharma is spiritually so powerful that even those who by worldly standards are implicated in various ways in sinful behavior can easily be purified by adopting any of the processes mentioned in this verse. In the practice of ordinary piety, one worships God with the expectation of receiving something in return for one's service. Similarly, the impersonalist aspires for his own liberation, wishfully thinking that he will become equal to God. In Bhagavad Dharma, however, there is no such impurity. Bhagavad Dharma is devotional service to the Lord, in which the only objective is the satisfaction of the Lord. If one rejects this process and instead wants to hear about, teach, or meditate upon another process, the chance for immediate purification is lost. Neither ordinary materialistic yoga processes meant for achieving mystic powers, nor impersonal processes based on speculation, have the power to purify immediately those who have fallen into sinful behavior. Sad Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is unique in that even the most fallen souls can immediately rise to the highest perfectional stage by surrendering at the lotus feet of Krishna or his pure devotee. This is vividly demonstrated in the preaching work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in the case of the sinful brothers, Jagai and Madhai. So this is an amazing verse demonstrating the potency of pure devotional service. Even persons who hate the demigods and all other living beings can immediately be purified by any one of these, by hearing about, by chanting, by meditating. By meditating on devotional service, by accepting it, or by praising the devotional service of others. Srila Prabhupada makes an amazing statement also in Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, and he says those who just appreciate devotional service, appreciate the devotees, get the same benefit as the devotees. So in Kali Yuga, just by appreciating the activity of the devotees, one gets immense benefit. There's a story in the one of our DVDs that Srila Prabhupada came to Melbourne, and there was an article about it, about his arrival, and he did an interview with a reporter. And then Charun Prabhu was invited that reporter to see Srila Prabhupada. So he's very anxious to get the newspaper. It's a long, long interview. Prabhupada explained how we're not the body, how we migrate through different species of life. And then so Charun Prabhu got the headline, got the newspaper and saw the headline. And the headline was, Swamiji says that he will become animal in his next life. And he took it to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't even, comment on the title. He said, how many times has he said Krishna in the article? So Srila Prabhupada counted the number of times that he said Krishna, and it was quite a few. So Prabhupada asked for the circulation of the newspaper, and he said a few hundred thousand. So he said, what is that times the number of times he said Krishna? It was, millions. Prabhupada was appreciating that he was just chanting. So this is this is indirect service to the Lord, chanting his names unknowingly. So there are so many ways in the Kali Yuga. The Lord is so merciful by appreciating or just by chanting his name, even with some other intention than what is ideal, then people get benefit. So another story about this idea of one getting some, receiving something in return for one's service to God. Srila Prabhupada was on a radio show, and there was a preacher. I think the preacher was the commentator on the show. So people were calling in, telling the preacher what they were receiving from their prayers to God. And they were receiving, a house and a car and money and this gift and that benediction, and it went on and on and on. So finally the commentator turned to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, what do you ask for? What do you ask God for? And Prabhupada turned to him and he said, I ask for God's love. So this is the difference between so-called service to God. In other words, doing something and expecting some return, expecting some benefit. Praying to God for some bread or this or that. And the pure devotee. The pure devotee is only interested in serving Krishna and loving Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada in the purport here goes on to explain that the impersonalist aspires for his own liberation. He's also seeking something. He's also seeking some happiness. So the karmi is seeking something, some material benediction. The impersonalist or the jnani, he's also expecting some liberation. He wants something. And also the yogi, he wants some mystic power. So all three classes want something in return for their service. So that's the huge difference between the materialists in different categories and the devotee. The devotee wants nothing. He only wants God's love. So we can aspire for that position, only desiring the God's love. And be patient, you know, execute the process and have patience. Any questions on this one? Yes?
Who, you said one of the most important qualities is to be patient. Can you kind of guide us like how to develop this quality?
How to develop it?
Yeah. Are there any ways suggested? Or how is it that you develop this quality? I mean, if somebody is not that, you know, doesn't have that, or is not.
Yeah, I think it's a quality of the mode of goodness to be patient. Because the mode of passion means we're, you know, acting very quickly and we're expecting some result quickly. Isn't that true? Everybody's running around, you know, working very hard and expecting some quick result. So we should try to develop the mode of goodness. And we know the qualities of the different modes. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita. So if we feel ourselves drifting into the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, we can recognize that and take steps to ideally chant. We can chant if we feel ourselves falling into down through the modes. So the first thing is to think about. If we think about activities or any kind of sense gratification, and then the first process is to think about it, and then the second process to figure out how to do it, and then we do it. We have to cut off that process immediately after the thought process. Then we have to take up the chanting or render some service or get association. So the chanting and association are two probably the most potent ways of developing higher qualities, including patience. Anything else? Yes? You're saying it can be immediate.
That, for me at least, that was the same journey in Krishna consciousness. The highest taste was being immediate.
Yeah. That's right. We can receive the mercy. We can get immediate. We can be purified immediately. But sometimes the problem is that we go back to our old habits. And that quite often happens. So we should stay on that. If we receive the mercy, we should act in such a way to stay on that platform and not fall down again. Yes, it is immediate. Actually, at the time of initiation, our karma, our slate is clean. A resultant reactions are gone from our sinful activities. But the problem is that the tendency is to commit more sinful activity. And therefore the reactions continue. Is there a question? Anything else? Yes,
Prabhupada.
Can I relate some activities? I was the filmmaker back in the early days, and my constant anxiety was to, you know, create disturbance, running around trying to make films. And but Srila Prabhupada was quite patient with me, very much in the early years. I met Srila Prabhupada in 1970, and I was taking a lot of still pictures then. He encouraged me in different ways. But we released a film, the first film on the movement in 1974 at the Mayapur Festival. And we all crowded into Srila Prabhupada's room to watch the film. And I had brought a 16mm projector from India, I mean from New York to India to show the film. But unfortunately, and I brought a transformer to convert the current. But when I put the film on, it ran slow because of the different cycles. There's 50 cycles and there's 60 cycles. So the film ran slow and the narration was really low. You know, everybody's voice dropped. And I was mortified, but Prabhupada didn't seem to mind. And we watched the whole film in that slow speed. Excuse me. And actually then, before the film was shown, the room was completely packed with GBC and sannyasis. And my wife appeared at the door. She helped me to make the film. And nobody moved. She couldn't get in. So Prabhupada saw her in the doorway and he made a motion for her to come. And the sannyasi should move aside. Then he went like this and she sat next to Prabhupada. Then he made the comment, ladies first. Srila Prabhupada enjoyed that film very much, much to our surprise. It was our first film. And it was called The Hare Krishna People. And it was shown at probably every Pandal performance, every Pandal that we had in India during those days. And amazingly enough, Srila Prabhupada, when the film came on, every time he would sit there and watch the whole thing, he wouldn't get up and leave. And the film was 30 minutes. One time he even saw it backwards because he was sitting behind the screen. The audience was here, the screen was here, and Prabhupada was sitting here. So everything was flipped, including the deities when they were shown. So Prabhupada, he said to continue that service. Sell the films, make more films, and support the family, and continue making films. We made a film on... Actually, the devotees asked that I make a film for the 76 Mayapur Festival, and that was a film on book production, showing how Srila Prabhupada was carrying out the order of his spiritual master and producing so many books. That film was called Brilliant as the Sun. So we made that in 8 weeks. That was a record. And in making film, it was not like video these days. You can go out and shoot something, transfer it to computer, edit it, do special effects, and release it. It can be done in actually hours. At that time, the filmmaking process was much different. There was no video. It was only film. So to make a film, you had to, purchase the film, shoot the film, get it developed at the laboratory, make a work print that you could work on and not scratch the original, and do everything you wanted to do on the work print. If you wanted to do a dissolve, you know what a dissolve is? It's two scenes dissolving together. One fades out, the other fades in. You had to mark on the film with a grease pencil that I want to dissolve here. Then they would take it back, make a print with all the effects in it that you wanted, and you had to look at the print and decide if you made the right decision. If you didn't, then you change it, this or that. They'd do another print, you look at that. It would take, you know, weeks for that process. So 8 weeks was quite fast. So we finally released the film and flew to Mayapur and show Srila Prabhupada's family like that. And every time a visitor would come to his room, he'd ask me to get the projector and show the film. We saw the film I don't know how many times. Even if one person came to the room, especially Prabhupada's godbrothers, he would show me. And then, after the first film, I asked Srila Prabhupada if I could make a biography on his life. A film biography on his life. And his first response was, what is the need? He didn't feel it was necessary. So I mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, people in the future will want to know who started the Hare Krishna movement. And so he said, he's thought for some time, and then he said, okay, you can do that. But it's interesting that today that so many movements are known by their founder, the name of the founder. But we're known as the Hare Krishna movement, and not many people know about Srila Prabhupada. There's so many other groups, and they're known by, you know, this Swami or that Swami. So Srila Prabhupada never put himself up front. He always put Krishna up front. So I was shooting for quite a few months, and then in the summer of 1975 in Los Angeles, I shot a lot of Srila Prabhupada, just translating in his room, chanting japa. Maybe some of you have seen these films. And then Srila Prabhupada went to Denver, Colorado, and I followed him, and he didn't know I was coming. So I set up some lights in front of his Vyasasana, and he came for greeting the deities and then Guru Puja. So after greeting the deities, he sat down on the Vyasasana, and I was filming. And the lights were very bright and hot. He didn't like that so much. So after the class, he called me in, and also his secretary didn't like filmmakers or photographers. That was Brahmananda Swami at the time. So I was like went to Srila Prabhupada's room, and then Brahmananda said that Srila Prabhupada didn't like the lights and why. And then Srila Prabhupada said, whether I am there on the Vyasasana in Los Angeles or I'm here in Denver on the Vyasasana, what is the difference? So he indicated that he didn't want to be filmed anymore. So. But then he just didn't stop the service. He wanted to know what I would do next. So we talked at quite length some time about what to do next for my service. And then I had remembered that Kirtanananda Swami wanted to film a new Vrindavan. So that was decided I should do that next. So I was very impressed and moved that Srila Prabhupada took time to think of what I should do next, not just cut me off. Srila Prabhupada always wanted us engaged in Krishna's service. So I went to do that film in the fall of 1975, and that was released the next summer as The Spiritual Frontier. And we released that film in Los Angeles. And Srila Prabhupada was there. It was always a wonderful occasion to have Srila Prabhupada there at the premiere of the film. So we sat on the Vyasasana, and the temple room was packed. Kirtanananda Swami had flown out with quite a few devotees from New Vrindavan for the premiere. And one scene in that film is Puri is being cooked in a big wok. So Srila Prabhupada, he raised himself up, and he said, I want one. Get me one. And afterwards in his room, there was a big kind of a party after the film. Kirtananda had brought ice cream for New Vrindavan and lots of sweets from the cows. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned the film was very, very good. And then he glorified Kirtananda Swami for his creating New Vrindavan like that. So we went on next to make a film
called Spark of Life, and that was our first dramatic film. And that was a conversation between two college students on the subject of Bhagavad Gita. It was actually supposed to be for the Bhaktivedanta Institute, a film for their scientific preaching. At the time, they had many arguments against some of the theories put out by the material scientists. But we had a problem with that, because if we made a film based on those current theories, but materials, and are defeating those current theories, eventually the film would be dated, because the theories are always changing. Correct? Yeah, scientist theories are always changing. I remember when I went to school in college, the atomic theory of, in other words, how an atom behaves and exists or whatever, was different than what it is today. So we were learning, it was all very scientific in our science book about the atom, but it was wrong. That's the nature of material knowledge. So we thought we were very bright at that time learning these things, but it was incorrect information, at least dated information. So our idea was to make a film based on the arguments in Bhagavad Gita. So we did that. And in 1977, we showed that film to Srila Prabhupada in his new quarters in Juhu. And the film wasn't... devotees in the room really didn't like the film. There were no devotees in it. No one was dressed like a devotee. It was only philosophy, conversation. So Srila Prabhupada asked me what was the response for showing the film. I told him we had shown it in L.A. before we came to India. It was shown in the Sunday Feast. Srila Prabhupada asked what was the reaction. And I said one visitor came up to me and he said that now I can understand I'm not the body. And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, then it is a success. So actually the persons who didn't like the film, they went on to use that film extensively for preaching in India at colleges and so forth. Then we made another film called Vrindavan, Land of Krishna. And that was at the time of Srila Prabhupada's illness in Vrindavan. And eventually he, of course, departed in November of 1977. And he never saw that film. So, it's a little bit about our history in filmmaking. But now we are producing all the films, collecting all the films of Srila Prabhupada, and restoring them on a computer with all the new technology, which is really amazing. Everything can be done at home, you could say. All those things that I had to wait for days and weeks from the laboratory at great expense can be done very quickly. Anything else? Yes.
You want to say something about Haridas Thakur, his disappearance
day? His disappearance day. Haridas Thakur was such an example, being born in a Muslim family. And sometimes Krishna makes arrangements to glorify his devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered him the Namacharya, or the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name, even though he had such a birth in a Muslim family. So this is a very important point, that anyone can take to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was fighting the caste Brahmins so much in India in the early days, because they felt we weren't qualified. His Western disciples were not qualified. And to do anything, really, to become purified, to do deity worship. And this is
nonsense. Because this is saying that our conditioning is more powerful than the process of devotional service and the potency of the holy name. So this is actually lack of faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. But still there are many such persons. And even at the time of Haridas Thakur, there was opposition to a person of Muslim birth entering the Jagannath temple. So he voluntarily stayed away. But the Lord himself came to visit him every day. So that's proof of the potency of devotional service and the power of devotional service. That we are very anxious to see Krishna in the temple, but he acted in such a way that Krishna came to see him. Great, great lesson. Does anyone have anything else to say about Srila Haridas Thakur? Yeah.
The holy name is so potent that even a prostitute became a pure devotee.
Mm.
The best example we can see from his life.
Right.
How important is holy name.
We have great hope if we can also become pure. So thank you very much. Tonight I think we're showing another film. Actually, I read on the poster that we were supposed to show DVD number 7. We didn't do that. So DVD number 2. But the latest DVD in our series is number 7. And there's some wonderful parts of that. Actually, in that particular DVD, there's 76 devotees speaking in that DVD. Most of our DVDs have, at the most, about 50. But this has quite a few, and including quite a few devotees who are not with us anymore, including four sannyasis. So we can show some of that tonight. Also maybe show some of Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne. DVD number 8 has Srila Prabhupada in this temple installing the deities. So I wish I had some of that to show you, but that's in production. Maybe another time.
Can you clean up stone with
that?
Those stones when Prabhupada was in stone. Can you clean the stone up for that?
Can we clean it? Yeah, we can. You know, better color. More, we can do a few things with a film. We can sharpen it. We can adjust the color. We can adjust the darkness or brightness, like that. So quite a bit can be done. If we try to remove scratches, then that becomes very, very time consuming and expensive. But some people like the scratched look, because it looks like film and it looks older. So I've read that in some books, some film books. What do you think? Does it look better? So please come tonight. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.